Morning and welcome to Wanda Speaks, the Black Arts and Culture Program of the African Sisters Media Network. Antoine Hunter is an African-American deaf and hard of hearing choreographer, dancer, dance instructor, model, actor, and poet. Hunter was born deaf and raised in Oakland, California, and began dancing with Don James at Skyline High School. He has studied West African dance with master teacher Master teachers C.K. and Betty Lazekpo, and studied at the Paul Taylor Summer Intensives in 2003 and 2004 on full scholarship. He loves to dance. You may have seen him in commercials or music videos. He has performed and taught all over the United States and all over the world in places such as Rome, London, Cuba, Africa. He's also performed with Savage Jazz Dance Company as dancer, performer, and jazz dance instructor. He has performed with the Nubia Dance Theater. He's been featured in Black Choreographers Here and Now several times. You've seen him with Sins Invalid, Sonic Dance Theater of Epiphany Productions. They do the cable dances in San Francisco. Lorraine Hansberry Theater, Alayo Dance Company, which has something coming up really soon. Cat Willis Push Dance Company with Risa Simpson and Robert Moses Ken Dance Company. Sign Dance Collective, a.k.a. Sign Dance Theater International Dance, he's been dance captain for Expedia.com commercials, choreographer for Americana, the musical, and many more. Mr. Hunter has attended the California Institute of the Arts and is studying towards a BA degree at St. Mary's College of California, LEAP. He is founder and director of Urban Jazz Dance Company as of 2007. He's a faculty member of the East Bay Center for the Performing Arts, Dance of Vision, Youth in Arts, Shaw Anderson Dance Theater, Dance Center in Oakland, Ross Dance Company, and this is just a few. he is joining us to talk about Deaf Louder, the second Bay Area Deaf Dance Festival this weekend, tonight, Friday, August 8th, Saturday, tomorrow, August 9th. Both those days are 8 o'clock performances, and Sunday, August 10th at 4 p.m. at Dance Mission Theater in San Francisco. Deaf Louder proudly presents a festival that celebrates deaf culture. There will be dance, poetry, song, and rap by deaf and hearing performances starring Deaf Motion from London, Michelle Banks, Fred Beam, Joey Antonio, Rosa Lee, and Antoine Hunter. Other performers include James L. Taylor III, Coda Brothers, Sister Master, Half and Half, Deaf ASL singer, Tonique Hunter, Tonique's not going to be performing, poet Joy Elan, Sledge is performing. Tickets are $25 for adults, and if you want to get a discount, you use the code DEAFLOUDER, and you get $18 ticket. And this is at Brown Paper Tickets. And tickets are $12 for children 10 and younger. And for groups of five or more, there is also a discount. You can call 415-826-4441. 415-826-4441, and again, you can email Dance Mission Theater, theter@yahoo.com. And there's going to be a special workshop Saturday with Michelle Banks at the East Bay Center for the Performing Arts in Richmond. I'm thinking 1 o'clock, but I'm not sure. So you should visit antoinehunter.blogspot.com for all the details. And then on Sunday, there is a dance workshop from 12 to 2. and at Dance Mission Theater. So you can visit, again, antoinehunter.blogspot.com for all of those specifics. And so we had a really nice conversation on Monday, and want to play the interview in its entirety. So I'm going to open up with a piece from Angelique Kidjo, I've Got Dreams to Remember, and then we're going to shift right into Antoine's interview. And because Antoine is deaf, when we were having the telephone interview, there was a lag between my questions and his response because he had to read my questions on his listening device before he could respond. So just stay in there. It's a really wonderful interview, and it's in two parts. And I know you're going to really enjoy it. So here's Angelique Kidjo, I've Got Dreams to Remember.
Oh,
So Antoine, Hunter, tell us about your second annual festival dance performances of deaf and hearing impaired artists and choreographers.
Yeah, the Bay Area Deaf Dance Festival, wow, just the second annual. The theme this year is called Deaf Louder. Basically, we're trying to express our culture using art to be louder about the society that we live in and about our experience about being deaf. You know, we have people of all coming from all over the world, artists that speak different languages, like Buddhist Sign Language, American Sign Language, India Sign Language, and we're sharing our own culture within deaf culture, you know. But this dance festival is not only for deaf, but Poland, ASL singer, rapper, comedian, actor, and so many advocates and educators will be coming down. You know, I'm just so excited because we've got London people in L.A., D.C., you know, happening all in Dance Mission Theater, you know, I guess 8 through the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening.
Okay, well, maybe we'll, like, slow it down a little bit, and you can maybe give us some of the details about, you know, specifically some of the people that you're featuring. Are any of the artists ones that were featured in last year's performance, or are they all new?
We have maybe a few that are returning, like James Taylor from Silent Mob is the deaf rapper. He'll be coming back.
Mm.
And we have this one group, Aaliyah Cotton, who is Coda. Herself is not completely deaf, but her parents are deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And Coda is children of a deaf adult, you know. And for the reason I accepted them because they are a part of their culture. They can't help it but to live the life of deaf people even though they can hear, you know. It's just they adopt everything that we have. They're extra sensitive just as we are as well. However, they include everything into their life. So they'll be performing. She will be doing like tap dancing and hip-hop. So that would be wonderful this year because she got so inspired from last year to push her show and her dancing up another level. So we do have a few people coming back, but a lot of stars this time are coming. Just like Fred Bean, he'll be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
He came in the Bay Area 2011, and he's definitely ready to come back.
Fred is from Washington. Is that the area he's from? Washington, D.C.?
Yes, he's from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
He is the director of National Deaf Dance Theater at Wild Dapper.
Yeah, and then Joey Antonio, where is he from?
Oh, Joey Antonio, he's from Los Angeles, and he was on MTV, The Best Crew. He was one of the secret weapons to you. Yes, he'll be back doing hip-hop and breakdown, and he's taking it to another level as well.
Mm-hmm. And then Rosa Lee, where is she from?
Rosa Lee, she's all around. She's right now registered in the barrier.
Mm-hmm.
She used a lot of videos in theater in Los Angeles, New York. She's very well in the barrier, also very advocate for deaf education.
Mm-hmm.
So she's really wonderful. She'll be doing a little acting and dancing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is every evening different? August 8th through 10th, like August 8th is a different show from August 9th, or can people see everyone in each night?
Well, August 8th through the 9th, yes, we'll start that 8 p.m., and that's a little later, so it's not going to be the same program. However, Sunday at 4 p.m. at Family 19, I wanted to get the kids involved, so I made it a little bit lighter, and that will be a different program because we have some deaf children dancing with Aaliyah Cotton, and that's going to be definitely fun to see.
Wow. So if people want to see the children, like, for instance, your daughter, she's a, does she do ASL and sing? Is that what your daughter, Tonique, is going to be doing, Tonique Hunter?
Well, Tonique Hunter this year, unfortunately, we're going to miss her.
Oh.
She has some big to perform. We're going to definitely miss her. She was trying to make it happen to come out here. But she definitely wanted to send her love because last year was her first big performance to be in a big crowd. You know, she was playing it and at the time. So she was definitely excited to come. But we won't be able to see her this year, but she sent her love.
Oh, okay. And so where does Tonique live? Where is she living presently?
She's in the Bay Area, the Bay Area, but also she's up North State doing Deaf Camp and trying to be a role model for young children who are deaf as well.
Nice.
So trying to finish up with the summer.
Oh, nice, nice. And then I noticed that that Joy Elaine is going to be performing. Wonderful poet.
Yeah. Yeah. Joy, she won third place for Oakland Got Talent. She's definitely magnificent. She will be doing her thing as well. She wrote two new poems. And I'm excited to see what that is because she's always shocking me.
Nice, nice. And so who are the Coda brothers?
Well, the Coda brothers system where it really half and half. And half and half is by Sherry Hicks and Michael Flossy, if I pronounce his name right. Basically, both of them have many years of performing for deaf audience, and both of them had deaf parents. And a lot of times they had to interpret songs to their families, and the family would always get them to, you know, perform for the family at their first Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, perform for everybody. And they are magnificent. They have done many shows out through the Bay Area, interpreting, not just interpreting, but making more rich and performing. You know, sometimes interpreting shows, it can be very, very plain with interpreters. But with them, they make it so interesting that we can actually hear the music when they interpret, you know what I mean? She doesn't just find they're playing music. No, they're actually imitating the way they sound and as they raise their guitar over their head and wriggling their finger up and down, side to side. It was so full energy, you know, that you cannot be bored and with them and still have entertaining themselves, or not that, but the Coda.
Wow, wow. So you are so busy yourself, traveling, performing throughout the country and in other places. And I was wondering, did you meet these other artists that you have invited to participate in the Urban Jazz Dance and Dance Missions, Deaf Louder, the Second Bay Area Deaf Dance Festival? Do you know them because you've met them when you've been traveling? Is that how you've been able to get these wonderful artists to participate in this second annual event?
Well, it's really interesting history because, yes, I do travel a lot, and many of the people that I met were just starting their work. And we inspire each other by, you know, feeding off each other. I've been doing this for quite a long time, started with Savvy Chad Dance Company and Skyline High School. And being many years with them had trained me to be a advanced professional dancer, to work exceedingly, you know, to reaching my dreams and all. Many people believe that I have reached my dream and they wanted to get up there. So as I travel through the state, through the country, many of them, they want to do the same things that I'm doing, but in their own style, maybe like hip-hop, because I'm more like ballet, jazz, African, you know, but they want to get up there to perform a lot. So a lot of times, it took me 7 years to try to make this happen, even though this is the second annual, 7 years altogether trying to make it happen, to give deaf people what they need, because many theaters sometimes really discriminate deaf to perform. They say sometimes, who will come to a deaf show? Who will? Will the ticket sell? What can we provide them? It will be too complicated to provide them what they need. The lighting? What? How? How do we tell them the cue? Speaker? It's supposed to be out to the audience, not to the performer. You know, where I dance mission, we are very fortunate for them to be willing to work with us, you know, because they're willing to turn the speaker around and make some adjustments for the deaf artist where we can feel the vibration and all. And so I called back all the people from Arizona, London, and everything that finally come to this stage. However, it's really interesting. I love it. Love people to express the way they dance, but we want to make it to the point where it's the best of the best. So during the time before the show, I would spend some time mentoring them for free, you know. For example, Deaf Motion is already here in town from London. They're here, Billy Reed and Cassie. Is a wonderful hip-hop dancer who has just started performing for 2 years. They're still learning how to bring their dancing to another level. And so they travel all the way out here to get the best of the best, what they say, but I'm still telling them, I'm working on mine too. But we're trying, you know, the thing is, they've taken a mentorship with me, and so I would attend to the rehearsal, give them feedback and everything, and they love it, and I'm learning from them as well, and it's going to be a rocking show when it performs, you know. But this is how it worked for making this happen. This is how, you know, many people would call me to mentor them, and then I say, you have to perform on this stage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I don't know if that's clear. Is that clear?
Yeah. It seems like you're, you know, you have, you're like an elder in the deaf dance community. I mean, you're not old, but you're an elder because you started really young. I mean, you know, you've been doing this professionally since you were in high school, and you are. I mean, you have a real breadth of experience as a performer and also as an activist. And I was wondering, are you still? I know you have some leadership roles in some of the deaf. Organizations, community organizations, and I was wondering, I don't remember the name of the organization. I'm looking through emails to see, but I can't find it just yet. Are you still president of the Bay Area Black Deaf Advocates?
According to National Black Deaf Advocate, I'm still the president of the Bay Area Black Deaf Advocate. And yes, enjoying a lot. I'm trying to finish up my term.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few more months left.
Okay.
But I'm also just involved with many deaf advocate communities, just like CAD, with California Association of Deaf, and Deaf Hope. Deaf Hope is related to deaf victims who've been raped or abused. We advocate them to support their voice, because a lot of times, sometimes police, that doesn't believe them, and they just say, oh, that was you because you're deaf, you know. And so we want to make sure their voice is heard and protect our community. So, yeah, I'm still involved in those. I can't pull myself away from the politician area of community, supporting our community. At the same time, I love art to express our love for the people and heal.
Mhm. Yeah, yeah. And you are co-founder and former artistic director of the Iron Triangel Urban Ballet.
Oh, Iron Triangle Urban Ballet. Iron Triangle Urban Ballet. Yeah, I really miss them. The young people, I really miss them. Yeah, I just thought, you know, in Richmond that each kid would have their own pre-professional dance company so that they can get ready to be professional. I just feel I was growing up. I missed a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland, we have a lot. But sometimes some of our great teachers leave, so we forget the old tradition sometimes. And I knew that I missed a lot from being deaf, so I wanted to make sure that I get back, you know, make sure they don't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember seeing people with fold their arm in New York's dance class, and the teacher would throw them out, you know, but I was never taught that here. And so I had to tell them, no, don't fold your arms, you know, because it means that you're better than a teacher or things like that. And those are the forgotten traditions sometimes. You know, we want to give respect to all those who made a path for us, you know. So I love Triangle Urban Ballet from East Bay Center of the Performing Arts. I just really went back to teach there.
Oh, okay.
Still amazing.
Oh, yeah. Where else are you teaching?
I'm also teaching at Charlie Anderson. That's open to public. I'm mostly teaching at 13 different locations.
13?
You know,
oh, my goodness.
Really, really busy.
Yeah. Wow. 13 different locations. Man, wow, that's amazing. So how are you able to have the Urban Jazz Dance Company, and what are you all doing at the festival next weekend?
How am I able to put that together? That was
yeah. My goodness. 13 places? That's more than 7 days. So, like, wow, how do you do that and have a company and prepare for this festival? And also, you know, choreograph new work, because I'm sure you're going to be sharing new work with us, right?
Well, I do have to do some new work. But fortunately, these wonderful studios have been very, very flexible and strict as well to make my art still grow. But not every day I will teach all 13 locations, some on Monday, some on Tuesday, you know. And that's just a little bit no time to eat, right? You know?
Right.
But, yeah, it's been really, really amazing. To really support my work. All I can say, I'm really blessed, you know. What they give me, I try to give it back. For example, Deaf Motion from London,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're giving me their talents. They're coming here, learning, and it's an honor to, you know, mentor them. That's given me a lot of blessings. And so within a few weeks, I will go back to London with them and continue supporting their work. for 10 days and then come right back, you know. While I'm gone, I'll just have to call up a really wonderful local t-shirt to substitute for me, you know, so just for that 10 days and come back working twice as hard. You know, it's not really easy trying to do what you do, but it could be very overwhelming to the point to say, how did I get here? And will I still have energies tomorrow? I keep looking around and say, who else will do it? You know, I'm just really blessed that my mom has always believed in me, and my Oakland people are still cheering me on. I'm really, really blessed that I keep on thinking the same thing. How do I have time to do all of this? You know, it's a miracle, really, the strength coming from above.
Yeah. That the piece that you did with Zacho, you know, about the brothers who are incarcerated and then, you know, being killed, you know, in prison, you know, by, you know, executed or just, you know, from just being in that sort of a unsafe and inhuman environment. Gosh, that was really powerful as a part of the Black Choreographers Here and Now, and then later on at Zacho Studios. What was it called? I forgot the name of it. Something While Black and Brown. What was the name of that piece?
It was called
Dying While Black and Brown, right?
Yes, it was called Dying While Black and Brown.
Yes,
it was about death row, African American men in death row.
Yeah.
Oh man, Triana Hugger is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her piece was really about. Well, the piece of Dying While Black and Brown was really a part to her about the profound wise, because it really took place about the tragedy that happened, you know, in Texas, and how so many people started to realize their freedom, you know. You know what I mean? I love working with Joanna because I keep learning about myself as African American, and so I was just trying to make sure deaf people don't mess out as well with that.
Mhm. Yeah. Did a lot of the deaf community come out, particularly when it moved to San Francisco? Were people able to make it out and see the piece?
For the While Dying in Black and Brown.
Yes.
Or...
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah, were they able to see you in that piece?
A few people who were part of the deaf community, yes, did come. I did ask Charlie Hugger if she could provide an interpreter, and amazingly, she did without any hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
She was just like, okay, yes, well, of course. She wanted to make sure that... the deaf community know what's happening with their own people, because many of us are also brown and black.
Mm-hmm.
So, the few came, but the problem is sometimes deaf people don't know when and where there will be a performance that is deaf friendly.
Mm.
So it's hard to grab the audience, you know, because sometimes things like this with so much information don't have interpreter or transcript.
Uh-huh.
And Joanna Hugger provided that, so that's wonderful. But many other places, that's why it's hard sometimes to pull people out to new areas, because it could be really painful to pay $30 for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you could completely miss everything from it. And so that's why my show, the Bay Area Deaf Festival, will be more like a deaf-friendly show, which means what? there will be people who Spanish. There will be equipment where deaf people in the audience can feel the music. There will be an interpreter behind the office box and at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be having a lot more resources for them to feel like, hey, we're coming to a show that fit for them, and they could be a part of the entertainment and not miss anything. Just,
mm-hmm.
you know, how many times some people, deaf people go to the movie and everybody laughs, and deaf people say, what was that? You know, they missed it because they can't hear the joke or the sound.
Yeah.
So it's going to be exciting.
Yes, people need to get their tickets quickly because Dance Mission's not that large. And if, you know, the Bay Area deaf community is not small, people just don't know because they don't ever see people that are deaf sitting alongside of them. So it's going to be some serious competition for the seats, huh?
Seriously. I just got a call that there's seven people driving from Los Angeles.
Wow.
Just to watch the show. I'm really moved by that.
Mm.
I'm very moved. It's just so I was just like, wow, people are flying in and getting rent a car at their own hotel just to watch the show. A deaf agent, excuse me, I'm just getting a little bit overwhelmed because it's amazing people coming, you know, just to see and support the show and maybe grab the talent to take back home with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because really the purpose for this, is not just to have them perform, but many people have told me through the years that I've been dancing that I was the only deaf dancer. I was like, no, I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
There's others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm getting out there a little differently than others because I am not ashamed to say that I'm deaf. I'm
mm-hmm.
not ashamed to say I'm African-American. I'm not ashamed to say I'm from Oakland, California. You know, many people say where that is, and I say it's across the bridge from San Francisco. I know San Francisco. I love San Francisco, too, but I'm from Oakland, you know. And I try to stay honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I've been through, because what I've been through is not easy. So, and it does sometimes take so much where you feel like you're not going to make it. But if you just believe, you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right when you get close to the finish line, it feels like, whew, you're out of breath. You got no more, but keep on putting that prayer together and strength together, and you'll make it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a blessing to see all these deaf dancers performing coming today with me to be on the finish line and all the people in the audience to cheer us on.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing. I can't wait.
Yeah. You are extremely visible as a black man and as a deaf artist. People look up and they see you, you know, doing solo performances as well as having your company in work, you know, Art and Soul, you know, you perform there. Trolley Dances, you're one of the sort of the one of the almost like the resident artists, because whenever Trolley Dances happens, even that year when you lost your hearing aid, the good one, you still performed even though you couldn't hear at all, because you have a little hearing with your hearing aid, but then without the hearing aid,
right.
You have no hearing. I remember that year, and then more recently last year, you were a part of the Bay Area Ethnic Dance Festival, and this was a first for the company, you know, the festival, to have a deaf artist as one of the solo artists. And you're everywhere. So that certainly, I'm sure, is the reason why, you know, there's such impact. But I wanted to go back to your company and ask you again what you have choreographed for this particular show and who's going to be joining you from your company.
it's just some mixed work. I will be having a duet with my company, with Lauren Clay, and the other track is really based on the life experience that I had. It's been a while that I get to really show what I'm really doing. The title, it hasn't been really made yet because I'm still trying to figure it out. We're pretty much done with the movement, but having the title, wow, as you just talked about my life, you know, I don't know what to call it yet because it has so much in it. As you said, I've been everywhere. Each different timeline, I was somewhere else, but yet still a black man who is deaf from the Bay Area. And so I'm still figuring out the title for that, but it's related to the life experience that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So one solo that I am doing had been choreographed by 5 different choreographers. My goal was to get 12 different choreographers, but I got 5 because everyone's busy. But and populist, for example, Alan Chung, who is an Icon writer and avid speaker, and she owned a restaurant in Oakland called The Few Bar. She's amazing in the Bay Area. And she choreographed it one dance, 1 minute, on me. And it was very, very beautiful. Old Dave from Yuma Brainer, he choreographed it 1 minute. A little bit of an Irish dance in it. Aaliyah, who did belly dancing with me, 1 minute of the belly dance. And Alpha Haiti from Sean Roberts. So we have 5 choreographers putting 1 minute on me. The purpose of that is to get them to say what it is to work with a deaf dancer. You know, Nia Half said, wow, I've never worked with a deaf dancer, and it was really pleasant for her because she was able to see how she had to push herself in another box to connect with a deaf dancer. She had to actually turn herself to me, where maybe she's used to turning away from dancers and moving around. These are professional, wonderful, over 30 years, 15 years choreographers. And yeah, the experience for them can be a little nervous and new. And so that's why I asked them to choreograph 1 minute, because I guess I'm crazy enough to do it, you know, because they were doing things I'd never done before, rolling on the floor, belly dancing. I mean, whoa, I have big respect for belly dancing now, because that muscle work from maximum, it burns. It burned really bad. You know? So I was like, wow. You know? Wow. So that solo is called I Hear, I Teach. And all the choreographers write their note on Dance Mission Wall to say how they felt when they choreographed and what they learned. And so my hope with that is that it will give the courage to other choreographers, because there's some amazing dancers out there, and big choreographers sometimes get really nervous to work with deaf people.
Interesting. Wow. It's really something how, as an artist, you're also a teacher, you know. You can't just think about the art, because even if you just think about the art, there's always a learning curve happening, because you live in a world where it's majority hearing, not majority deaf. So just your being in the world means that as you're moving through the hearing world as a deaf man, there's a learning curve happening, particularly when people really notice, you know, that you have a hearing aid on and that they can't turn away, otherwise you don't know what they're saying, and that you're speaking, you know, for our convenience, not for your own, because you can't hear us if we speak back. You have to read our lips. So it's just really, you know, I just think it's just really admirable that you work so hard to communicate.
Thank you. I don't know. I think what it is was I grew up segregated from the hearing community and from the deaf community, too, because hearing people didn't accept me because I couldn't hear, and deaf people didn't accept me because I could hear just a little bit of the hearing aid, but because I wanted to get outside of the box. You know, for example, being in basketball, I wanted to go ahead and be on the basketball team in our school at Bernhardt Elementary School. And some of the deaf people would be like, whoa, no, don't join that. They're all hearing. Deaf people don't play basketball with hearing. And I was like, I wanted to get outside the box. So I wasn't one of them because I wanted to do something different with my life. You know, I wanted to bring people together. It was so segregated, such a war. Only, guess what? They both want the same thing, but they have a different way of saying it, and they just don't know each other's language, you know? And so I'm just like, wow. They want the same thing. They're angry about the same thing in America, but the only reason to get a little bit messed up is because they don't understand each other. So I want to have everybody together because my parents are hearing and I'm deaf. I don't want to be segregated from hearing people. You know what I mean? So I invite everybody together, and I hope that, you know, the world gets a little bit better, just a little bit, you know, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, wow, so now you're a parent, too, and your children are hearing, right? And so, wow, that's really, mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of carrying forth these lessons. And I was wondering, did you end up playing basketball at Bret Hart?
Yeah, I was a basketball player from there. I wasn't really good at first. It took me a really long time. You know, I thought Michael Jordan and Earl Jordan were two different persons. So that's how bad I was, you know. But at the end, I got pretty good. I had some proud moments, you know. But it was really challenging because my coach didn't know sign language, you know what I mean? And I just had to do my best to read everybody's lips, you know. But I don't regret the hard work, you know. I don't regret that I didn't stay in that group where they said I shouldn't be on the basketball team, you know, because I learned so much from my coach and, you know, Coach Smith from Bernhardt Elementary said, okay, you're on the team. And it wasn't like he just kept me on the bench. He let me play.
Mm.
And it only motivated me to continue to make mistakes and get better at it, you know. I'm really grateful for them for letting me have the opportunity because he was the one that said, you need to put on the yoga and work harder, you know. But he told me the truth, that someone didn't have the gut to tell me, you know, the yoga one? Oh, I didn't even know that, you know, because I'm just a kid. And to work harder. Wow, okay. rather than saying nothing and just put me on the bench. So I'm really, really grateful for him, Coach Smith, man. Wow. You know.
And then, you know, having parents that would allow you to live outside of the constraints of either community, the hearing or the deaf community, and let you be your own person. I want you to speak about that and then sort of parlay that into your own sort of parenting philosophy.
I think my mom, you know, she's an amazing Christian woman. I think our mom, and she raised three of us, two of my sisters, all on her own, and adopted my brother, Isis. We were very artistic family, you know. My mother viewed me as a pioneer, a person who cuts the path for others. And, you know, I would go blindly to the unknown and make it to something easy for other people to want a little bit better or so. You know, it won't be easier maybe, but a little bit easier to see, you know what I mean? She's always believed in that. And she had named me Antoine. That means conqueror. And the best day, that means overcomer. Mm-hmm. And she let me know in advance at that time what my name means. And it had carried me through my whole life. And she viewed my hearing aid at the time like her glasses. She saw groups of families crying about their children being deaf. And they would ask her how she feel about me being deaf. She took off her glasses and said, "I can't see." And she put it back on and said, "Now I can see." Mm. And that's what it is with his hearing aid. And he can't hear without it. He can hear a little bit with it. And it makes him no different from the rest of us. He will be able to drive and have children and have a career because he's the overcomer. And she continued to cheer me on. I could tell you, I wore my mom a little bit out because I kept on changing my, what I'm going to go after. I was the track and field ref. I was going to be an NBA basketball player, a bodybuilder, and everything. And finally, at the end, you know, dancer, choreographer, evident, and she just continues to try to provide everything I need, you know, because it's not easy when they keep on changing. Bodybuilding? What? Okay, here's a bodybuilding magazine. Here's some weight, you know. Now you want to be a dancer. Let's go find ballet shoes and stuff like that. But mom, oh my gosh, she's just been really patient with me. You know, and, you know, she just didn't put me in a prison like some of my other deaf friends that were, their parents would put them in a box, would never let them go out for the weekend and stuff like that. But she didn't do that with me. I think one thing is that she believed that I would be great. And I followed that for my daughter. Mm-hmm. My daughter, Dula Hunter, I named her as well. And Dula means brilliant. Mm-hmm. And she's reading. She's fine. She talks like she's seven. And she's only three.
Oh, really?
You know, the other day, I was eating pancakes and waffle, and she said Baba, which it means father in Africa, African language. She said, "Baba, how's your pancake?" And I said, it's good. And I said, how short? And she said, mine's a little dry, but I'm thankful. You know, and I was like, oh, wow, what a really cool conversation coming from her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's really brilliant. Rather than, you know, and I think our name carries us through the rest of our life to help us understand who we are if we give them that what we believe they will be, it will be, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just for me. I think it's because it has carried me through the rest of my life. I have noticed some people try to find out who they are, and I did try to find out who I am, but that name has told me for the rest of my life, no matter what I will do in my life, I will always overcome. So for Dula, no matter what it seems and how many times she fails, as a beautiful woman she will be brilliant. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe she speaks a little Spanish or sign language when she's only three?
Wow, yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. But then look at her father, right?
Oh, well. She corrected me the other day, talking about Baba. First edition is a little bit more turned out. So her turned out was better than mine. So I was like, wow.
Oh, wow, that is something.
That's not how you do it. So that's great because she's going to be better than me. So I guess that's what the way it should be.
Yeah. So I noticed, you know, coming back to the Bay Area Deaf Dance Festival, that you're going to actually be having a workshop with Michelle Banks. Yeah, why don't you tell us about that? It's going to be at the East Bay Center for the Performing Arts, I believe. I Am Every Woman, Women Empowerment Workshop. For all younger and older women, it says August 9th, 3 p.m. at the East Bay Center for Performing Arts. Antoine Hunter to all deaf community advocates. Yeah, it's a part of your, is that still happening? I'm on your website now.
Yes, it's definitely still happening.
Okay.
It's definitely happening. August 9th or 3 p.m. at East Bay Center Performing Arts. Basically, Michelle Banks is just a great deaf icon, but she definitely represents African American community and women. You know, I'm a feminist. I cannot help it. I grew up with five women in the house, and I cannot stand how sometimes people have treated our sisters, our mothers, you know, and now our daughters, our children. So I am always really motivated by, you know, women leaders, you know, and they have inspired me. My mother has inspired me, you know, Debbie Allen has inspired me, you know, a lot of wonderful African-American women, you know, and Michelle Banks has been through a lot as a deaf black woman. So she will be sharing some of her life experience, and she will be giving a women empowerment speech and saying we cannot look at ourselves as lower and dehumanize ourselves. You know what I mean? Even though we are deaf, we may not speak as clearly as others, but we definitely can speak louder using many things, technology, art, the people that surround us, you know, and not give up. Right now, the woman from London has shared this experience about people in India sometimes really disrespect Indian women. And so she's definitely looking forward to go to the workshop. She's a part of Deaf Motion. And she really wanted to learn a lot from her so she could continue her speech and supporting women in India, because there's a lot of abuse to women in India, and I'm very shocked to hear some of the things that she has shared with me, and I'm very blessed to be able to give the workshop in our community. So she's coming off from Washington, D.C. She opened up a deaf theater, and wow, many people have told her the same thing. Don't do it. But she said, I will do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Her theater is the Onyx Theater Company, and it presents works that merge sign language and spoken English, which is really similar to what you do in your theater. Because a lot of times you also bring in film, and you invite the audience to participate in the world of the deaf and hearing impaired audiences, and see how that feels, you know, where, you know, all of a sudden you don't know what's going on. And it's just really great the way you sort of shift the focus in your pieces so that everyone gets a different perspective, literally within the performance itself. Like, we get a chance to play different roles and come out understanding, you know, other a little bit better than we did before. So now other is not other, other is ourselves, because we have a new understanding of what it means, you know, to be a part of community that has, you know, differences that are not insurmountable. So that's just really wonderful. And she does that quite a bit, you know, in her work. And I think, didn't we, when we went to Pacific Film Archive, when they were celebrating sort of black films that came out of UCLA during the Black Power Movement, she was the star in one of the films. Is that the film? Is she the one that we went to see?
She was playing an African woman with AIDS as well,
mm-hmm.
and who was trying to live her life, you know. And wow, she's been doing this quite a long time. I try to learn as much as I can from her. I'm really excited to see what she's going to be presenting on her lecture, you know, because I continue to learn so much from her. She's also still teaching at Washington, D.C., MSSD, which is right upstairs, up the hill from Gallaudet University, or Deaf School in Washington, D.C. And so, wow, I just can't wait to see what she's going to present.
Michelle Banks is big time. The film that we saw is called Compensation. It's by Zainabu Irene Davis, and Michelle, she's done a whole lot. She's been in a lot of films. She's performed A Not So Quiet Nocturne, which stars Michelle is a pregnant woman who contracts HIV virus from her husband. And she has other credits, which include A Free Bird of a Cutting Edge by Anne-Marie Bryan, Malcolm X by Spike Lee. We already mentioned Compensation by Zainabu Irene Davis. Her theatrical credits include For Color Girls Who Consider Suicide, When the Rainbow is Enough by Indashaki Shange. And she's worked as interpreter, director with ASL Interpreters on plays like House Arrest by Anna Deavere Smith. Anna Deavere Smith was just out here recently at Berkeley Rep. Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk, and The Life. She's been featured in magazines like Essence, Gallaudet, Today, The World Around You. And currently, you mentioned that she's a drama teacher at JHS 47 School for the Deaf in Manhattan. So it's great that you're able to get Michelle. Like, where did you get all this money to bring all these people here from London and Washington and Southern California and the Bay Area? Like, you must have been fundraising, like, forever. This sounds expensive.
Well, let's not talk about the money part. But, I to be honest, there's a lot that didn't come out of my pocket for bringing her out here, but it's totally worth it. Somebody has to do it. We have to share what she's doing. It's really, really awesome. So all the things she's doing for our community. However, I'm a little upset that not a lot of people know who she is. You know what I mean? She is a part of Black history, and Black history needs to use her a lot, a lot more than before. So, I want to see her more. I really love seeing her on Girlfriends for UPN, but I would love to see her more because Mertie Mallon, the Deaf actress, she's amazing. But Michelle Banks, representing our Black community and Deaf community, should be used more as well, but also I do need to say that for the Barrier Deaf Dance Festival, I really burned my pocket last year, so I'm really grateful for Dalabak Family Foundation to help out a little bit with the funding and the Barrier Theater grant, cash grant, to help out. As well, I'm so grateful for them to help put more lighting for us, get the equipment and food that we need for the artists, and get them into the hotel because, they deserve it. We got people coming from all over USA trying to use art to tell what deaf needs, what deaf is, and that deaf is here,
So let our audience know we're speaking to Antoine Hunter, artistic director and founder of the Bay Area Deaf Dance Festival, which is happening August 8th through 10th at Dance Mission, Friday, August 8th, and Saturday, August 9th at 8 o'clock in the evening, and Sunday, August 10th at 4 p.m., and the two evening shows are the same, but the Sunday show is going to be really fun with some young folks performing, so you need to make a weekend of it. And tickets are $25, and you can get them at Brown Paper Tickets, and it's going to really be really fun. Antoine, this just sounds so fabulous. I remember when you were thinking about this a long time ago, like I don't know, you've been having this desire to do this for a long time, and just trying to figure out where am I going to do it at? Because I remember we've had conversations about it in the past, and now here you are on number two. And what would be really great is to be able to take it on the road, because everyone can't necessarily get here from other places in the country. Los Angeles is not as far to be able to drive up, but people who are on the East Coast in New York who are hearing about this and who might want to check it out, or Washington, or even Midwest or the South, they might be able to get here. So it would be really super if someone kicked in some money so then you could, travel with this work. Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Yes, it would be wonderful. I definitely want to support as many deaf community as possible and learn from them, and not just learn from them, but bring it back to our community here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I could tell you that's a bit different from the East and the West, with some of the things that deaf have in the East, with business and things like that. I want to learn from them and bring it over here. We're a little behind on deaf business, but we're here, but I'm definitely excited because not only that we're going to have the show and that women workshop, but there's one more thing.
Oh, what's
around
that?
Around noon on Sunday. Right 2 hours before the show, 4 hours before the show, we will have a dance workshop for all adults and young people of any, almost all age. Yes, it would just be $2 or they can come for free. Yes, and we will be having hip-hop teacher teaching that are deaf. They will have me teaching a little Afro jazz. And then we have Eliva Cotton teaching tap, you know. So it's going to be really amazing, 40 minutes each for four different teachers teaching. Oh, and Deaf Motion was to be teaching Buddhist sign language with little Michael Jackson. So I'm really excited about that part because I don't know Buddhist sign language that well, and I love Michael Jackson. So it's going to be really, really excited to learn from him as well, from Billy Reed from London, you know. So that's the workshop before the show. And Harry and Death can come, but it just be taught by Death T-shirt and Coda T-shirt. That's
wow.
Going to be so fun.
Nice. So that's at 1 o'clock on Sunday?
It's going to be at noon. It's going to be
12.
At noon.
Okay, 12.
And we'll be finished about 1 to, let me see, noon to 1, and then, yeah, so about 2 o'clock. So we'll be done because we'll add a little Q&A for the kids to ask their questions. So it's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to go out and eat, catch their breath, and come back and watch the 4 p.m. show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. So are the 12 to 2 p.m. workshop, is that at Dance Mission as well, same place?
Yeah.
Okay.
It will be yes, it's definitely going to be at Dance Mission. We don't want them to go too far away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll definitely put it there. And I will be providing some water, and why don't they can sit down and watch the show.
Oh, nice. So did you do this last year, too, have workshops connected to the festival?
No, I taught class on Sunday at Charlie Anderson, and then I ran to the theater. Last year was my first time, so I was learning my way around. I didn't even perform last year because I wanted to make sure as the producer and as the coordinator that everything runs well, and learn my way as the producer and coordinator first before I get onto the stage. So I did less performing. I mean, I didn't perform at all. You know, I just the performance. But now I feel braver, and I did have some little place where last year I said I could have did this, I could have did that. And I was nervous about doing this and that. But this year, I'm not going to be like, oh, maybe not, maybe so, let's make it happen, you know. So I'm really excited because we got some hula hoop dancer too. And I was like, maybe, I'm not going to say maybe. She's a dancer too. She's going to be amazing. So I don't want to say too much because I want people to come and see. And, you know what I mean? Because we have so much to offer.
Wow, that's really exciting. How large is your team? Who's helping you?
How big is my team? Can I be completely honest?
Yeah, of course.
My team, you know, last year, Kim Epifeo, you know, she was the one who let me use her tag number, and she's my umbrella for physical sponsor. And she was my only helper through that. And then P. Island Jones, who danced for Dance Theater of Harlem, have flew in on the last final week of the show. That was my only support, and the performer as well. But that was my team, you know. This year, Dance Mission Stella have been wonderful to work with me. That's one. Trini G from London, that's two, and Cam again. So my team is still really, really small, very, very small. We're still looking for people to really support this event. You know, to be honest, sometimes it feels that people love the idea but don't want to do the work because it could be really painful. And I don't know. I think the biggest support that helped me heal with my family
mm-hmm.
and God. And that's the youth, the biggest team I have outside of the dance festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully it'll keep on growing and growing so that, you know, the work is not too heavy for you because, you know, you're still working as you organize and coordinate, you know, this wonderful festival, which I'm sure the third annual planning is going to start as soon as the second annual is over. So should people visit your website for Urban Jazz Dance if they want to, you know, help you out, you know, this time, you know, with some donations and see if you need any volunteers to help with in the actual theater itself, you know, with maybe setup or whatever. Should they get in touch with you there?
Yes, they can definitely contact me through www.urbanjazzdance.com. And they can also go on to the Facebook fan page because my wonderful fans have been really, really sharing. How can I forget the fans? Wow. No, my fans are supporting me as well. They are definitely telling me to keep going. They're cheering me on. So, the fans. Wow, I just almost forgot about them. So, they are the very... I was just thinking about it. I was like, what? Wow. No, wait a minute. I got a little bit bigger team out there. It might be a little bit different from the business work. But there's support. Wait a minute. The fans in the deaf community are supporting me and sharing the work that I'm doing. You know, but I hope that some of them from Facebook and Deaf Advocate will come out and help from the theater. You know, I got maybe two emails this morning, so thanks for reminding me about that. It is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether
yeah.
it's two people more, it is growing. I'm blessed for that growth and getting a little bit better. You know, somebody said they believe this can last more than 10 years. And I was like, let me think about the first, second year first, okay?
Right. mm-hmm. Yeah.
It ain't easy.
mm-hmm.
But I do hope to make this an international dance dance festival because one thing about this festival that is very rare, we have variety. Of people. We have Native American, we have Asian, we have Spanish, we have many different cultures coming out to represent their own culture within deaf culture to
mm-hmm.
speak louder, you know. So it's going to be deaf louder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and then also to see the different, people don't necessarily think about in deaf culture that everyone doesn't speak the same language, that just like we don't all speak, you know, the same language like English and Spanish and, you know, other types of languages are not the same. There's a linguistic sort of differences that you have to bridge in the performance. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, definitely. I'm, you know, I I'm grateful for the many years of dancing with different artists, just like Savvy Jazz Dance Company. And, you know, on the road with Savvy Jazz Dance Company, we went to Italy, and I met some people that were deaf and Italian. They showed some little Italian sign language. And then I went to Cuba with Ramon Leo Dance Company in San Francisco, some of the people in Cuba showed me they know a little bit of sign language that they learned in Cuba, you know, and Spanish. So I was able to grab a little bit of everything. And fortunate enough, Time Dance Collective has found me in Philadelphia in a deaf show, brought me to London, and I had to learn that language. So all the 15 years of learning different languages have really helped me to get ready for this festival. You know, because Billy Reed, who is from London, the company director and founder of Deaf Motion, speaks British Sign Language, not American Sign Language. And so completely some words are backwards. You know, what and where if reversed it and it looks the same. You know, I'm saying where, but to him, it's, I'm saying what. And he's like, what? You know. Okay, where? You know. Mm-hmm. So he was very fortunate to bring a good friend of him up here named Cassie, who speaks German sign language, American sign language, and universal international sign language, where the little bit of the international, very common and most international. And so she has been really, really helpful to interpret for the both of us, even though we're both deaf. Mm. You know, some mm-hmm. people think sign language is the same all over the world, and it's not, you know. So we work really hard to communicate and work with each other. As I try to show them around the barriers to figure out what they would like to see, sometimes it can get a little confusing. But, you know, I'm really grateful that I have patience, they have patience with me, that we're trying to learn from each other. I'm trying to learn British sign language, he's trying to learn American sign language. And, it's very rewarding for me, and it's funny, because sometimes I say one more time, and he said one letter B time, you know, and I'm like, what you mean? You know, and we laugh about it because our language is reversed it, but it's so rewarding because some of their sign language makes more sense to my American than my American sign language, and he feels the same thing about American sign language, and so we don't discriminate, you know, and we both feel that art is the way to heal, and art is the way to help us deal with life. You know, he said that in life, he could be really shy, but somehow, just like me, when we get on stage, we feel like Superman. You know, we take off our glasses, we fly all over stage to be heroes, to be one to fly over the mountains, swim under the water, and then when it does, we put back on the glasses to walk away and be heroical, you know? Mm-hmm. I know. So, yeah. We have some Spanish sign language. Yeah. We have some India sign language. It's really, really amazing. It's challenging. I did see some part where some of us were getting a little bit frustrated to try to find a way to communicate. And it got to the point we had to write things down. And I'm so grateful that I have the experience of trying to work with hearing people, because it's the same tool that I try to use for deaf people that speak in other languages. We got to sit down and write things down to find a way to communicate. Yeah, to communicate is to connect, and to connect is to communicate. So, yeah, it's it's very, very rewarding, and that's what I'm going to say for the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was wondering, lastly, with regards to ticket prices, are the prices, the $25 price, is that for just adults or, and, oh, I see right here, it's $25, and then for children, 10 and under is $12, right?
Yes, the ticket of general admission, $25. Yeah, and, it is a different price for the new. But because of people who's listening to one of the radio stations and the people who are deaf allies, I'm going to give you something really special.
Hmm.
Yes? If you go here and go on brownpaperticket.com and type in the Bay Area Deaf Dance Festival, when you find our show, there is a code, a password. Because you are listening and supporting our deaf community, the code is Deaf Louder, DEAFLOUDER, all in one word, Deaf Louder. And that would turn the $25 into $18.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys, it would show that our community is there. Yeah. And yes, for the children, it is $12. That is under 10. So.
Okay, cool. Well, that's a great discount. $18 instead of $25, so people could come to two shows instead of one show. That'd be great.
Oh, wow, yes. There's mm-hmm. a couple of people going to all three. I can't believe it.
You should be able to believe it, Antoine. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend of dance and speaking and taking dance. I mean, this is going to be like, you could just take a vacation at Dance Mission and just not go home at all. If they had places for people to sleep, it's like, oh, I'll just stay here Friday to Sunday. Just camp out. Yeah, and then get a lift to Richmond for the talk, Michelle's talk on Saturday, come back, and then be there early Sunday for the dance class, you know, as witness or as participant. Yeah, and then later on that afternoon, you know, the other show with young people performing. Yeah, it's going to really be great. You should be, congratulations on a great, you know, second annual festival.
Thank you. So blessed to have the artists willing to perform their work there and being brave. They are brave artists to come out and present their own work, because we are always going to be criticized for just being deaf and what we're doing, you know what I mean? But, they're going to be presenting their deaf culture. And no matter what anybody else says, they're going to present themselves louder than before. And I am blessed, you know. And thank you, Ms. Wanda, for giving me the opportunity to share this blessing with you and others.
Oh, you're welcome, Antoine. It's been really great talking to you. I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm just getting back, but you knew I would. Warren Hill, when will it end? When will the people start getting together again? Are things really getting better? Like the newspaper said. What else is new, my friend? Besides what I'm in. Can't find no work, can't find no job, my friend. Money is tighter than it's ever been. Say, man, I just don't understand. Are they still getting down where we used to go and dance? Well, I'm bundled up with a penny. Do you think they have a chance? And tell me, friend, how in the world have you been? What's the deal, my friend? What's happening? What's happening?
With Antoine Hunter in a conversation with Colette Elwah, speaking about the 35th Annual Ethnic Dance Festival that I mentioned in the interview. That was last year in June, and Antoine, as we already spoke, was one of the featured choreographers and performers. And so I'm going to play that particular interview with Antoine and Colette so you can sort of hear about what he created for that particular festival, and you can also hear from Colette, who is fabulous, and other folks in the program last year. And I looked and I noticed that I had an interview with Michelle Banks, who we spoke about, and if I get it together, I might play that tomorrow morning. Sort of a reprise. She and I had an interview with her partner when they were having a Deaf Poetry Jam in Washington, D.C., and she had a Kickstart fundraiser going on about that. So here's Antoine Hunter and Colette Elwah speaking about the 35th Annual Ethnic Dance Festival 2013. So I wanted to say congratulations to both of you for being a part of the 35th anniversary of the San Francisco Ethnic Dance Festival. How exciting.
Thank you, Wanda.
Yay.
So, Antoine, let's start with you because I think this might be the first time the Ethnic Dance Festival has ever had a company where the dancers use American Sign Language and some are, you know, deaf or hearing impaired. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. And.
Mm-hmm.
And the dancing represents deafness in itself. Deaf culture. There's, you know, the dances in the there's many different cultures represented in the festival, and I feel like I have an opportunity to share, you know, our message about deaf culture and how we dance to the music.
So tell us a little bit about the Urban Dance or Urban Jazz Dance Company. You know, your artistic choreographic palette is just so extensive. I mean, you dance. You have jazz, dance, idiom, African, hip hop, gospel, and signing as a poetic gestured language. Talk about your company and your members and what you've created for a weekend for June 29th and 30th, where you close out this festival with Colette and others.
Okay. One second here. My dance company is 9 years old. I have deaf and hearing dancers, and I tend to learn a lot from all of them. I really want to bridge the gap and have it be a place where hearing and deaf people can both express themselves, because really, I feel that dance saved my life. I was really an outcast and I'm not fully accepted by hearing people. Or fully accepted by deaf people. And it was hard for me to understand that, you know, because I was just, I just thought, you know, we're all human. I was proud of that, you know, and that's all I cared about. And my dance company, we perform all over the world, and we're really trying to touch people's lives, you know, and inspire people to be able to express themselves through art and it can really save their minds, basically, their hearts, their spirits, you know, can, when you feel like you can't express yourself, you lose your mind, you know, you lose touch with yourself. So that's what dancing is for me, you know, and what we're going to bring to the Ethnic Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Colette, do you want to respond to that?
Wow, we have a lot in common. Wow, that's fascinating. And then also your mission with dance is beautiful. Yeah, it's very inspiring. I do that kind of work, too, with dance in terms of the folklore, Haitian folklore dance that I do. Like, there's a piece that I created about, you know, the marketplace woman in Haiti, like a woman who lives off of, like, maybe $5 a month sometimes. And this woman's voice will never be heard by most people, you know. And so I like to create pieces that give people without a voice. So to hear what Antoine is doing as well, it's just, I immediately feel a connection with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Colette, your company is called Elwa Movement Dance Theater, and you're Haitian, And you come from a family of really proud, you know, Haitians. You seem to have been raised really within your culture, even though, you know, you were raised here in the United States. And you tell me about how successful all of you and your siblings are, because your father was just such a strong role model, and I'm sure your mother was as well. And you just got a master's degree at the California Institute of Integral Studies, and you teach at Laney College and in the dance department, which has a long, illustrious history of dance departments in public institutions here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and probably even nationally and internationally. And I want to ask you about, you know, what you have planned for week four at the Ethnic Dance Festival. And is this your first time participating in the festival as a choreographer?
No, this won't be my first time participating as a choreographer. I've participated before with Project Reconnect, a company I founded with, it was a collective of artists that we founded, the company Project Reconnected. We did a piece called Young People's Haiti, A Little Bit of Haiti. So this will be my second time as choreographer, but I've also performed as a dancer in Petite La Croix, which Petite La Croix is a festival, several times with Petite La Croix. And then what I'm presenting this time is called Call All the Good People, which is taken from a traditional Haitian prayer.
Haitian what?
And it's a Haitian prayer that will happen sometimes at the beginning of a ceremony called Bade. And the piece is really, it's two things in one. It's like saying thank you to all the people all over the world who poured out so much love to Haiti when the earthquake happened, you know, because growing up Haitian, there's always that stigma of negativity that, you know, got connected to the name of Haiti. A lot of people say a lot of lies and negative things about this country because it was the first black republic to win its freedom from slavery, and then to put a call out to other people, it seems like that who were enslaved, that they too would come and help them, you know, back a long time ago in the 1800s. And even to this day, it seems like they hold some kind of stigma because of that. And, but with the earthquake, even though it was a terrible, terrible, terrible thing, the outpour of people's love was quite incredible. So the piece is like saying thank you for that. And it's also, you know, so many billions of dollars went to Haiti, and they're like their White House, their equivalent of their White House, which is called the National Palace, has yet to be rebuilt. And there's a lot of media about how the funds didn't really get to the people. I recently heard a statistic that like 5% of the funds actually made it, you know. So the piece is also to bring attention to that, you know, that why hasn't that palace been rebuilt? You know, when the Pentagon got hit, and that was a terrible, terrible thing, it was rebuilt so quickly you almost didn't see images of it when it was collapsed. And so it's just to bring attention to those things and, you know, uplift the Haitian culture and the Haitian people.
Yeah. Antoine, do you have a comment or something you'd like to say about that to Colette?
Yes, one moment, please. Yeah, it's funny because as a deaf person, I face, you know, stereotypes and labels too. So I love how you're, calling the spirit to come support and give thanks to your people, and I can relate to that. My dance is the same way. Just basically expressing or supporting people that want to be free from stigmas and want to say, you know, we're all the same, we're all human, and the dance I'm doing is it's called Risk, and it's a remake. It's the voice of many deaf people, including mine. And there's no music in this one, but there's a lot of sign language. And I want people that are watching to feel the same struggle that deaf people feel when there's no closed captioning in the movie or, you know, hearing people are chatting and we have no idea what they're saying, so that they can kind of understand our everyday struggle, you know what I'm saying? And also... One moment, please. And it's funny, I noticed that after that, people have the desire to learn sign language. And they say that they feel such strong vibes, you know, from the dance. It's beautiful and it's strong. And I think that yours will too. Yours will inspire that too, and people are going to want to learn more about Haiti and support even more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the pieces that you create, Antoine, which incorporate speaking and signing in one piece, and wow, Risk sounds really powerful. I was wondering if I could sort of maybe just walk down memory lane with you for a minute. I believe the first time I saw you dance was in Savage Jazz Dance Company, and then immediately I became a fan. I started looking for your name and programs. And then eventually, when you were a part of Black Choreographers Here and Now, the first time, I was able to actually meet you and you know, gush over you, et cetera, et cetera, like fans do. and then I really enjoyed the dance festival that you put on at Shawl Anderson, where you teach. That was just really phenomenal. Colette, did you get a chance to see any of those companies that Antoine brought in from throughout the country? It was a two-week festival of dance.
No, I am so upset. I missed that. I didn't get to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully he'll be able to do it again. Maybe he could bring it to Lainey next time if he could get some support. That would be really super.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I really enjoyed your piece, Antoine, at ODC, as a part of the pilot project, and your piece that you're doing at the Ethnic Dance Festival sounds like a little riff on the pilot, the piece you did at ODC as a part of the pilot project, because in that one, it just everybody was, I think the whole theme was like everybody can dance. And I also have enjoyed you participating in Alayo's Cuba Caribe Festival. I'm not certain what year that was. And also Sins Invalid, that was, the last time I saw you, and that was just so beautiful. And then last, I want to just put in just a thank you again for your wonderful choreography on the beach at the Ma'aba Commemoration 2012. That was heavenly.
Mm.
Yeah. So the question, in the midst of all this reflection, was you mentioned that dance saved your life, and I know that you were raised in Oakland. You're multi-talented as a dance instructor, choreographer, model, poet, and you began dancing with Don James at Skyline High School, and then you later studied West African dance with Master C.K. and Betty Lazekpo, and you studied the Paul Taylor Summer Intensives in 2003 and 2004 as a full scholarship And you perform with so many companies besides the ones I mentioned. And you've been all over the world, Rome, London, Cuba, Africa. Mm-hmm. You performed with Zaco Dance Company, Push Dance Company. Love seeing you go down, walk down the street market when, was that last year when Joanna brought back that piece? Yeah, that was so nice when the black folks in San Francisco just left, and you were the newspaper man, I think. Anyway, you were so regal in your top hat. So,
yeah.
yeah, so anyway, yeah, in the midst of all that, I hope you remember the question.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, I can't stay in one place, you know, for very long.
Mm-hmm.
I love everyone's visions. You know, I want to make people's visions become reality, you know? And I really love learning from different cultures and different perspectives, different languages. I've never danced for money, you know, but more for the spirit, more to make things become real. You know, my only goals now, I'm, you know, producing more. I'm a producer. And so I am setting up shows for people to come and perform because I want them to express and learn like I have learned, you know, so much from other people, and I want them to meet other artists. You know, I think it's very, very important. That's very, very important for me. And so my next step now, well, my first step, the first step is, you know, performing for the Ethnic Festival. And really teaching about deaf people, and they can do anything that we want to do. It doesn't matter where someone's from or their, you know, economic status or class or their skin color. You know, everyone can achieve their dreams. And so my goal for the Ethnic Festival is to show basically that deaf people are here, you know, August 9th through 11th. I will set up a deaf dance festival in San Francisco, and hopefully hearing and deaf people work together, but, like I said, I can't stay in one place. I really, really value the art of sharing, you know. And the funny thing is the Oakland Bay Area has so many things to do, you know. People think we don't, and that's not true. We have a lot here, you know. People say, you know, people say I do a lot, and that's because I'm in a place, in a position where there is a lot. So, you know, I put myself here, and that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Antoine, talk a little bit about being a black man, because that in itself, you don't see that many black men dancing, choreographing, and then being a black man who is hard of hearing or deaf, and you know, I was noticing you've taken on a lot of leadership roles. You are the a Bay Area Black Deaf Advocate. You are the Director at Large for Northern California for the California Association of the Deaf. You are Director of Berkeley Oakland ASL Meetup, which sounds fun. I got to learn ASL so I can meet up too. Yeah, so tell us about sort of how, you know, what that means, and how dance has, like you say, you know, we're here, meaning, you know, this part of our community that people might not, might overlook.
All right. It's funny because, one moment. All right, because about 8 years ago, I flew to D.C., and Washington, D.C., and wow, there, you know, there's a deaf university there, Gallaudet University,
mm-hmm.
So many deaf people, so many deaf students, many deaf, like, just so much equipment available to deaf people, needs were being met. Here in California, I didn't feel that we don't have that. You know, in D.C., there was deaf lawyers, doctors, So I've noticed that if I would have stayed in D.C., I would have never had an opportunity to build that type of community here, you know. And, okay, and then as a, like you were saying, as a black man in Oakland, I've noticed, let's see. You know, yeah, people see me as black before they see me as deaf. The challenge as a black man, well, here, there's lots of stereotyping. I'm supposed to be a basketball player, you know. I'm not a dancer, you know what I mean? And so if you're a dancer, you're supposed to be gay. There's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's beautiful. But, you know, I don't limit, I don't put myself inside a box, you know. And growing up, people told me that I couldn't drive. I couldn't, you know, do all these things. And it was funny. My mom, my mother, very, very stubborn woman, a Christian woman, she said, you know, baby, you can do anything you want to do. And so she was my cheerleader. And now I'm a father. And so everything that I do is, everything I do now is for the, you know, for the next, for the new generation, for the generation coming, you know, for the next generation. I want to make sure that all children have good, you know, access to education, and have good opportunities, you know. So I don't want to go ramble on and on too much, but the point is, my goal is to make sure our community has equality and has equal access to reaching their dreams or their careers, happiness, you know, whatever that means to them. And you know, I don't want people to fight each other.
Colette, beautiful. Sounds like you want to say something. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I am just enjoying learning this much about Antoine, because I remember seeing him in Savage's class as well, and when we both were taking his class, and we never got, it never turned out where we talked a lot, but I'm just really happy to hear. He's just a fascinating man. Yeah, very beautiful ideas.
It was impossible to talk in his class.
Oh, no, you just walk in there and you get your butt whooped. You're happy about it, too, you know. And then you leave thinking about how can you fix yourself. So, yeah, but I would see Antoine and be like, that is a gorgeous man, you know. But now that I get to hear about him, I see also on his inside, he's gorgeous as well. So I'm just happy to listen. But I do feel a lot of connection to him now that I hear how he thinks and what how he uses his art. And, you know, being deaf in this world and is being a deaf black man in this world is very similar to being a Haitian black woman in this world. So, yeah, I just love and hope that he keeps on pushing forward and would love to connect with him because there's a lot of things we have in common. I'm also going to be producing dance cultural exchanges in Haiti. So where I bring artists from here to Haiti to connect with artists there to create productions. And so, yeah, it's very fascinating.
Wow, that's great. That's wonderful. This is Antoine. And also, I don't know if you've noticed, you and I have learned a lot from Savage. You know, he's a very, very strong man.
Yeah.
And he's been through, knowing what he's been through as a black man.
Mm-hmm.
But he's continued his work for so many years. And it didn't matter, you know. He didn't care that you were a woman from Haiti, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care if I was deaf and black, you know. He really opened so many doors.
Really
and,
did.
You know, I didn't have money for the classes for 5 years.
Wow.
And he said, if you want free classes, you need to work your butt off, you know, and come to class even when you don't feel like it, you know. That means be committed, absolutely committed, and so that's definitely, I learned that from him, commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he's taught me that, he's given me that strength. You know, I've been dancing for him for over something, 11, 12, 13 years.
Wow. That is incredible. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we are very lucky to have him.
Yeah. We have a lot of great teachers here in the Bay Area. I went on to dance, to study Haitian dance more after I stopped taking Savage's classes to dance with Blanche Brown and Lynn Cole, you know, who just hold down the Haitian culture. And I learned so much from them and Michelle Martin. And then I went on to study Cuban styles with Barroso and Susana. And, you know, I just continued to learn. I started to want to learn more about the African diaspora dances and the African dances, you know, from Malunga and Tassani. And, I mean, the Bay Area is just so full of excellence when it comes to dance. And, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So happy to live here in the Bay Area and had access to that, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, you know, also Ed Monk.
Yes.
He's great as well. And
yes.
I'm going to dance with Amara.
Oh, yeah, top right.
T. Smith.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I didn't know anything about Ed Monk.
Mm-hmm.
And danced with Amara. Dancing with her taught me about just black men who used to dance here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about that is his spirit's here in the Bay Area, Ed Monk's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it makes us become stronger, I believe, and can help us advocate to our people even more.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah. Have you already danced with Amara Tabor Smith? And when is your? I know your dance festival is August 9th through 11th, but where is it? And lastly, who is Ed Monk?
Okay. Well, the Deaf Dance Festival will be at Dance Mission.
Okay.
At the Dance Mission Theater
mm-hmm.
in San Francisco. A lot of people from London and L.A., West Coast, East Coast will be here to perform.
Wow.
Deaf people, hearing people. And then, hold on 1 second. And then, hold on 1 second here. Ed Monk was a choreographer. Here, and he was a black man who had danced in so many different places, but I'm still learning about him. You know, he performed here a lot. He was a gay black man, but he didn't want to limit his work and say, I'm gay and black. No, he was like, you know, no, I'm just human. And so he really worked hard here in the Bay and then decided to move to New York. But he died from AIDS. And, you know, like I said, I'm still learning from Amara T. Smith about him, but I think that we're going to do his dance, one of his dances in July.
Oh.
I've noticed that her work is really pushing me as a, you know, as a black man, because we're, you know, I just feel like we're recalling his spirit. The funny thing about that, like doing that, recalling a spirit here, is if we invoke dance here, all the spirits of dance comes to us, dancers and dance comes to us, you know, who has lived in the Bay Area. Like, if we acknowledge them, it really is powerful. It calls us to, you know.
Mhm. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. It reminded me of tonight, actually, at the Malunga Center at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'm producing a dance workshop for a guest artist here, Lori Florente, and she's going to be doing a Fet Azaka, and it's all this kind of invoking spirit. It's Azaka is the spirit in Haiti that represents agriculture and, like, for lack of a better word, the peasant. He's a peasant in that he's a simple person, but at the same time he's profound. He's what makes the world keep going. He's a master herbologist. And so, like, in Haitian culture, when you call down spirit, it's not like you just call any spirit, and it's not like, you know, the stigma of calling some kind of evil spirit, but you're calling the remembrance of this profound person. So they have the deities called Loa, and then a call down person who was so outstanding in the gifts that was given to them by God that they're now remembered by everyone, how they're talking about Ed Mock. Mm-hmm. And then people remember that person regularly. So during this time of the month in Haiti, people remember Aga Ka because he's that kind of, that farmer, that master herbalist, that person who stood for the people. Mm-hmm. And so she will be doing the dances connected to him, serving the food connected to that deity. And so you can get that taste of Haitian culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and like what he's doing, what Amar is doing with remembering that spirit is very, like, connected to Haitian cosmology, which is really African cosmology, that idea of remembering your ancestors or the people who came for you before you, who set that foundation for you to remember. So you walk now, you will walk in the excellence of that person. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I just, that's wonderful.
Mhm. Yeah. How do you spell the name of the deity that people call on?
Azaka. A-Z-A-K-A.
A-Z-A. Spell,
mm-hmm.
Start at the beginning again. A-Z.
A-Z-A-K-A.
Uh-huh. K-A. Oh, Azaka.
So, mm-hmm. And so he'll be called Cousin Azaka, like Cousin Azaka, like he's everybody's cousin. You know, he's that guy who got your back. He's hardworking. You need something for him, he gets it to you fast. He's trustworthy, honest. You know, it's a way to remember that type of being, that kind of a person, you know.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking when you talked about, you know, remembering, you know, our ancestors and calling on them, you know, that we have our second Saturday in June, ancestral remembrance, where we pour libations for the ancestors. And it's a global libation, which happens at 9 o'clock in our hemisphere. And when I'm in Ethiopia at the second Saturday in June, it'll be 7 p.m. in Ethiopia. And it's 12 o'clock in New York. So, Cousin Azaka, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So come through. Come through, Antoine. Come through tonight at 7 p.m. at the Malunga Castle Hotel in Oakland.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, sounds awesome. Yeah. So did Antoine have something to say?
Yes. I was thinking about, you know, when you were saying, the name was said wrong. It's Ed Mock, M-O-C-K is how you spell the last name.
Okay.
So I just wanted to clarify that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, really, I have enjoyed learning from everyone, and I hope that people can continue to say that they remember other performances that they see and they can share them with other people. And so for people to learn, continue to learn and share their experiences as they go to see performances. And also being able to recall our ancestors through dance is so important. It's so crucial. Especially for me, it means so much. I'm trying to remember. I feel like I've been connected with my ancestors since around the age of 10. I feel connected with them, and I don't feel that I had a strong role model per se. So until about the age of 15. But if it wasn't for my ancestors, I feel like I wouldn't be here without that connection with their spirit. I feel like they've guided me and directed me to the place that I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I met Miss James as well.
Miss James?
And also Savage, how I got directed to Savage that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just met so many wonderful people. It's been such a blessing. And I think the funny thing for me is that to be in these people's lives and to be inspired, I feel like, since the age of 12 or 13, I didn't really realize why I felt so alone around that age. And I didn't feel like people understood me. My mom, of course, she was my cheerleader, as I said before. But I feel like I needed more. I needed more support, more understanding from other people. And I feel like the energy from my ancestors and God is what kept me going. And it really taught me to use dance in that way with their energy and to be able to
use it as
imagery for other people to express myself. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I thank all the people in my life for sharing with me what they've shared.
And thank you.
And thank you as well.
Yeah.
So I thank you both so much just for being an inspiration to me to keep going and continuing the work that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And Colette, really, it's funny because I do remember you from Savage's class. And, you know, I remember when we were dancing together very well. It was a fun time. And then it was just a few years later that, you know, we would say that we would dance together again. So it's nice to have that opportunity, of course.
Yeah. It's, I was thinking how when you said how dance saved your life, I say that to my students all the time, dance saved my life, because I was so shy, like deathly shy. I had the broken glasses, used to walk around with my head down. But when you're in dance, you can't walk with your head down, you know. You can't hide who God made you. It's going to come out, you know, and your gifts are going to come out. So, yeah, there's, when you said that, that really rang a bell with me. Yes, well, so, yeah, I really look forward to dancing with you in the Ethnic Dance Festival. Yeah, there's a little surprise where with a duet. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. But, yeah, it was
a secret. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't say anything. It's a secret.
Oh, that's going to be so lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, yeah. I was noticing, Antoine, that you in your on your website, which is really wonderful, AntoineHunter.com and the Urban Jazz Dance Company, that you have a quote from scripture, Psalm 41:46:1, and I just looked it up because I don't know the Bible really well, and it is, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I was wondering if you could, in closing, both of you actually, if you could talk about the spirit of dance moving through you, you know, the spirit of the Creator moving through you. If you could talk about that fluidity, and, you know, we're talking about ancestors, you know, which is spirit. Why don't you talk a little bit, maybe esoterically, about that spirit, starting with this quote that you have on your website.
Yes, of course. So that scripture, the Psalm reading, 46, it's God is our refuge and strength. And very present help during troubled times, absolutely. Basically, for me, it means that God is never late. How else do I put it? We, you know, it can be funny at times with the spirit. We want to know where and how the spirit's moving in our life. And sometimes I try to be a choreographer, and I feel that I'm not, you know, the one who made the stage. in a sense, that this, you know, this is not my dance. You know, I'm not truly the director in all of this. It's, you know, it's our spirit and the spirit God gives us that truly directs the dance. And sometimes our bodies aren't, how do I want to say? It's not about how we move our bodies, but how our spirit moves our bodies. And how our spirit is perfect and complete. And our spirit, you know, everyone has different energies and powers within their spirit. And God uses those different energies and spirits in really good ways. And at the right time. You know, and it's like when you're using GPS, when you're driving around, and at times you might notice that you feel like you're just driving and driving and driving and you haven't really changed direction. And then when you're almost there, you get there at the perfect timing, right when it says that you would. And you know, it'll say make a left right when you're supposed to make a left. You know, so it's kind of the same concept that at times I feel that I dance so much, you know, that I feel like I can't breathe or, you know, I can't move anymore. And I need that extra energy to help. And I need wisdom